Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and once again, I get to travel. I'm so excited to get to travel and get some stories, share some stories of what's happening around the world. And today, I find myself in Arusha, Tanzania, where a number of leaders from across Africa are getting together for what is called the All Africa Assembly, which is a group of leaders from across Africa to talk about what does it mean for the Church of God across Africa to partner together. And so one of the joys of that, of being here, is that I get to interview some of these leaders to share with you some of the things that are happening across the continent. And so this morning, we're only a day after we have arrived here in Arusha, so still a little sleepy. There was a very loud wedding party downstairs in the hotel we were at. So some of us slept and some of us did not sleep really well based on how loud that was. So if we sound a little sleepy, give us some grace. But we're excited to have Reverend Milas Ndau this morning to share a little bit about what's going on where she serves in Zambia. So Reverend Milas, we're so grateful that you're here with us to share a little bit about what's going on in Zambia.
The pleasure is mine.
And so, Milas, you're the national leader for the Church of God in Zambia, working with our churches across that country. And then, but you're also on the interim leadership team for the All Africa Assembly. So helping not just to connect your country, but to connect the entire continent. Is that right?
Yes.
That's wonderful. I'm really grateful for that. We're grateful for your leadership and what you do. And as we start to hear some stories of what's going on in Zambia, can you first give us a big picture of your country? Where are you located? Tell us a little bit about your country so that we can just know more about the church that we're about to hear about.
Zambia is located in the southern part of Africa. Somebody once said Zambia is like a little baby that's sleeping, that's a poster on the map. We are a land-linked country.
Okay.
Previously, they used to call us a landlocked country. We used to learn that in social studies at school.
Yeah.
That we are a landlocked country, but we've changed that to a land-linked country.
Yeah, that sounds more positive.
We are surrounded by all these neighbors, and everybody of them, when they're moving their goods, they have to pass through Zambia. So,
And, you know, one of the things we were talking about this morning, and you don't have to get into specifics, but I think it was important to recognize that Zambia was once a part of three countries were linked together. You were talking about Zambia, Malawi, and Zimbabwe were all part of kind of one tribal group. Is that how would you express that?
It used to be called the Confederation of Nyasaland, Northern Rhodesia, and Southern Rhodesia. Nyasaland, current Malawi. Northern Rhodesia, current Zambia, and Southern Rhodesia, current Zimbabwe. And these countries, they used to speak one language, common language called Nyanja. There's no tribe in any of these countries that's called Nyanja, but it was a language that was used for economic purposes to communicate in these three countries. So, yes.
I think that's really interesting because I think sometimes we can look at a map and assume that that's the way it's always been. But it's really good to be reminded that those are really modern delineations of where borders are. And so a big part of what Zambia is doing is trying to figure out how to continue to link some of those borders and those connections, how to broaden connections with Botswana and these other countries that are kind of within that same region.
Yeah, politically, Southern Africa, it's called an organization that links these countries trade-wise. It's called COMESA. So they can trade. You can use a COMESA driver's license in any of these countries. Recently, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe, they've come up with a common visa.
Oh, wow.
Like upon entry into Zambia, if Zambia is your first port of entry, you can request a visa. It's called a CASA visa. It allows you to visit Zimbabwe. It allows you to visit Botswana. You don't have to apply for new visas in these countries.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, one of the things I think is really interesting about the work that you do is there is a really strong link between the work that you're doing as a pastor and as a national leader of a church, but also understanding what's going on politically. Sometimes we divide those two things, like politics is over here and religion is over here. And certainly they're different things. But I noticed that as you were sharing this morning, you're able to speak into and connect with leaders in Zambia. You mentioned that is it the vice president that's a reverend? And that gives you kind of an ability to speak into some of what's happening on a government level, which I think is really beautiful that as a leader, you use your status to speak into for the good of your country.
Political decisions that are made, they affect the common person on the ground. And as a pastor, I am with those common people on the ground. So every decision that the politicians make, they have an impact on us as people. So we have to speak to them and speak to the powers that be. God said, if my people who are called by my name, so if God's people remain silent, I think we continue seeing the things that are being done wrongly continue to be done.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful that you're exercising that power to speak on behalf of the church to those leaders. Tell us a little bit about the church in Zambia. Is it a church that's mostly in the cities? Is it mostly rural? Tell us what church looks like for you.
90% of the church presence in Zambia, it's in the rural areas, like in the villages. And we are just beginning to plant churches in the cities because we've realized that the younger generation, they no longer want to stay in the villages. They are migrating to the cities. And when they get to these cities, they can't find the Church of God. And so we've been losing them to these other denominations. And so we have started planting churches in the cities.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is it? How would you plant a church? If you were to say we want to plant a church in the city, what's the way that you go about doing that?
First, we track down these young people that have come through the Church of God from their villages. We find them where they are located and we use them as a starting point. Mm. We begin from their home. They'll begin to evangelize, and the number right now in Zambia, you have to be 50 and above membership for you to even qualify to call yourself a preaching point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we're beginning to grow like that. So we have a number of churches that we have started in the city, although the challenge that we are finding out is that in the villages, you can go to the area, we call them headmen, ask for land, they'll give you the land, you mobilize the people, you come up with grass and poles and you erect a structure and people meet in there. But in the cities, you have to follow city council guidelines on how to build and everything else. But we are getting there.
That's wonderful. So 50 or more people in the church to be counted as a preaching point.
Yeah.
How many different churches are there across Zambia?
Oh, like different denominations?
Well, no, in the Church of God specifically.
We are over 365.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And you said 90% of those are in those more rural areas.
Yes, they're more in the rural areas.
So if I were to go visit one of those rural churches, one of the village churches, what would an experience be like? Do they meet on Sunday mornings?
Yeah.
So what would a Sunday morning experience be like at a village church?
Most, they'll be singing, definitely. You have to know how to dance and clap and just be joyful and worship. Our services, we have a saying that says we go as the Spirit leads, but 2 hours most. It's been mainly controlled now because of the COVID pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, we went from no church service at all, especially 2021, to only an hour, but now they are allowing 2 hours. So mostly it's a 2 hour service.
Okay, so during COVID, churches were closed for a period of time.
Yes, well, no services were allowed at the peak of COVID. Yeah.
Now, was there anything else that you were able to do during that time? Like, were you able to meet online? Did people have access to ability to do that? Or was it just a pause until they reopened it back up?
It's still a challenge to meet online because we don't have those facilities.
Yeah.
Many of our pastors don't have smartphones, but they have some kind of small phone that they'll just use to communicate. But none of that. And so, like in the villages, even in the cities, families would that are close together would meet in one house just to encourage one another, check on one another, and visit one another. So that's how it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Until this year, that's when they've, like even conferences where like a number of churches would come together, Easter services, all that, conferences, everything was canceled until this year. That's when they've opened up. Wow. The government has opened up for that.
I know in the United States, we were really frustrated that churches were closed, but I think we forget that there are places that didn't have access to technology to be able to continue to meet. You know, many of our churches just had to pivot and move online, but we remember those churches that don't have that.
Yeah. With us, we looked at really that period of time, we looked at really what's the true definition of church, because people were saying, oh, the church is closed. And I kept arguing that nobody can close the church because the Bible says you are the temple of the living God. So wherever you are church. So start something in your home with your family. And so we had church actually move from a central building to these smaller buildings, which our homes. And so we came up with the idea to say, yes, the church is actually not closed. The buildings are closed, but the church is not closed. So we saw church growth because then each family had to sit down through text messages, would share like, okay, today let's look at this and like, let's do a Bible study on this. And then can we have feedback on your Bible study, what you came up with and all that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. So you saw some church growth during that time.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I think that's such a testimony to the fact that you're exactly right. We can't close the church. We can close the buildings, but the church continues as long as we choose to engage that way. And it sounds like your communities chose to do that.
Yeah.
But then you said it moved from no church to 1 hour and now to 2 hours.
Yeah.
If there were no COVID restrictions, would your church services end in 2 hours?
No.
Or would
it... 4 hours, yes.
4 hours, okay. That's wonderful.
In the places where most of our people live, Sunday is an opportunity to meet together. And so when people meet together, they want to spend as much time as they can. In one church, there are more than one singing group. You have the kids, you have the youth choirs, you have the women choir, you have the men's choir. Everybody, if they sing five songs, and if one song takes 5 minutes, you can multiply that. And the pastor also, okay, if the singing took 2 hours, then the pastor takes 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, because he or she has to go longer than the singing. They have to make up for that. So.
Yeah. But yeah, we're adapting to make sure that the services are done in 2 hours, because during the peak hours of a peak time of COVID, we had people from the authorities visit. If you go beyond 1 hour, they would close you and you won't be meeting. So everybody was forced to cut down on most of the stuff that goes on.
So your churches, are they, in terms of age, do you have a lot of older people in the churches, a lot of younger people, a mixture of both? Well, what does the church look like in terms of age in Zambia?
You know, Zambia, just like most of the African countries, in the early 80s, 90s, we had HIV and AIDS. Mm. And we saw that wipe out most of my generation and my mom's generation, and left my mom's generation to take care of my generation's children. And so that generation, my mom's mom, that generation's phasing out. Mm. And so there's kind of like a generational gap in Zambia, like just in many African countries. And so the church in Zambia has a remnant from my mom's generation and my generation and our children's generation.
Yeah.
So that's mainly what you find in the church.
Wow. As you think about the churches, what are some things that are going really well that you're celebrating within the Church of God in Zambia?
The thing that we are celebrating is that the challenges and the difficulties, even the COVID, sad as this chapter of history, these past 2 years has been, where we've lost a lot of people, it has brought some kind of spiritual awakening. Mm. I can testify to that because during this past Easter celebration, the Church of God in Zambia gathered for the first time after 2 years. And in all the regions that people gathered, it was more of a revival than anything. We registered numbers that we haven't registered before.
Wow.
How people gathered just to celebrate and just enjoy being together and realize how quickly things can change. It has just brought a sense of appreciating one another instead of being against each other. We are beginning to speak with one another and just realize how fortunate we are to still be alive
at
such a time as this.
Amen. Now, the church in Zambia does services and those kind of things, but you're also engaged in schools. You have a school or a few schools. Talk about some of the other ministries that you and the church are involved in.
From all the 360 plus churches, we have two schools that are run by the Church of God right now. The other ministries that we are involved in is with Children of Promise, which currently it's operating in two districts.
And I think most people know what Children of Promise is. We've had Mike and Heather on the podcast before, but for those that don't know, it's a child sponsorship program. Mm-hmm. People in the U.S. can support a child, and then those funds are administered through the church. And it's one of the things that I think is beautiful about Children of Promise is that the church is actually the place where kids come and receive their needed food and get the education and those kind of pieces. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so tell us about the schools that you have. Are they thriving? Are they doing well? What kind of kids are a part of that school?
I'll talk about the one in Lusaka, then I'll talk about the one in the rural area. The one in Lusaka, we have children from the surrounding places now come to the church because our school there, and they're getting a good education at an affordable price. The fact that it's in a Christian environment, many parents feel safe bringing their kids to school. And also we are reaching out to the least of these in the compounds, mm-hmm. those that are left behind by society because they can't afford to take their children to a private school because of the expense that involves. As a church, we're trying to use that as a witness for Christ and reach out and be the light in our community and contribute to changing our community through mm-hmm. education and discipleship.
Wow. You mentioned the least of these. I know that that's a real passion for you is to support those that are and be a voice for those that lack all the privileges maybe that others do and the socioeconomically are low in status. Talk about how the church connects with, reaches out. Are most of the church people that you engage with in the rural communities, would they be a part of that lower socioeconomic status? And what does that look like?
Exactly. Most of where the church is in the rural areas, most of the people that we minister to can fall into that category of the least of these. With just Children of Promise, we are not even able to reach every child that needs mm-hmm. that help. But the few that we've reached out, we've seen the positive impact that has.
Yeah.
When it comes to speaking about the least of these, I don't need to look further than my own family. Mm. My husband and I were raising our kids in a rural setup, and then we moved to an urban area. And the first challenge we had was finding school places for our kids, and we couldn't find any because the government schools are overwhelmed by numbers and everything else. And so we sat down and we thought, we have one church. It was mud brick structure that we had at the property at that mm-hmm. time. We talked to one person in the church that was trained as a teacher, as a preschool teacher. We asked her if she could volunteer and start teaching the kids. And so two of our own kids, the youngest, who are twins, Dr. John here has met them. They were the first students at that school.
Wow.
So it started off as the volunteer teacher, just with the kids in the church. And then the compound head about the Church of God, there's a school there where the kids are going and they're teaching for free. And so they started bringing their kids. And when they started bringing their kids, they were like, oh, there's a church here, also a school. And they started coming to the church. And so I have seen personally what education and you influence a child for Christ when they are still young, what it has done and what it can do. So my kids are a living testimony of that.
And what do your kids do now? Are they grown?
Yes, all of them are grown. The two that I'm talking about, Grace and Hope. Hope, she's a lawyer who is doing very, very well in a very leading law firms in Zambia.
Wow.
Grace, she's a medical doctor right now doing her residence in Livingstone. And the church in Livingstone is so blessed. They can go to the hospital and all they need to do is, I'm looking for Dr. Grace. And everybody will go like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It must have been a pretty good preschool teacher that you found then. If you came out with a lawyer and a doctor.
She didn't even live long enough to see the fruit of her labor. Oh, but yes, wow. And that school has produced kids that are making a difference in their own way in different areas.
I just think that's so important to remember that you didn't start off with a grand vision to change everything. You started off with a vision to affect your family and change your family. And what God's done with that, expanded that into a school that continues to impact kids that then impact their community.
Right now, we have 400 kids at that school, and we've run out of space because every day parents are bringing their children to that school. So, yeah, it's amazing to just watch
an incredible
what God
blessing.
Has done.
Yeah. Well, I love, you know, Children of Promise, their whole vision is making wholeness possible. It's that it's, you know, the affecting the life of a child isn't just the spiritual and it's not just the educational, it's all of these pieces together. That's what helps move a child from a situation that might leave them with very little options to a situation where they can thrive and, yep. and become whole.
Yep.
And you've been able to see that on the ground
yep.
and see what that looks like.
We have two that have actually made it to the University of Zambia. They did very, very well at the national examinations for grade 12, and they were able to be accorded scholarships by the government. One boy is actually former child of Children of Promise sponsored kid. He's actually at the University of Zambia studying law because he's looking up to my daughter Hope as his example, and he's following into her footsteps, and he's doing very, very well.
That's awesome.
The other girl, she is actually pursuing medicine. She is a second year student. She wants to be a medical doctor as well. So, wow. Yeah, I'm excited.
That's wonderful. We celebrate with you in that.
Yeah.
So, Milas, you are the national leader in Zambia. The pastors that make up the pastoral leadership across Zambia, is that what are the age makeup of that? And are there a lot of female leaders, men leaders? What does that look like in terms of pastors?
Most of the pastors are males. We are beginning to have women emerge as pastors. We have two women that recently, just before the COVID hit, that felt a call to go plant churches, and these two women went back to their areas, and they, when we made the call to begin to plant churches in the urban areas, we have two ladies that have stepped up. They went, planted churches in the urban area where they, and both of them have actually done very well, where they, from scratch, they were going out, talking to people about Jesus, bringing them into the church and inspired the people to give where they have actually built permanent structures
wow.
that have been approved by the government in areas that we can call in an urban area. So we have two female pastors that have done that.
And what can I ask, so that we can be praying for them, can I ask what their names are?
One is Judith. The okay. other one is Frida.
Judith and Frida. Well, yeah. we'll be praying for them as they continue on that path.
And their That's congregations exciting. Are growing.
That's and, awesome.
Yeah.
What are challenges that the church faces, the Church of God faces in Zambia?
The biggest challenge that we face in Zambia is what everybody else is facing in the world today. The inflation rates are high. Mm. Climate change is also affecting the church negatively because most of our pastors and our people live in rural areas. They depend on farming as their source of livelihoods. And so when you have droughts mm-hmm. or floods, that affects them and their income is a yearly income from their produce and everything else. So we have that affecting the church. And also we have the younger generation. There's a lot of urban migration where they are looking for greener pastures in the city. So we have young people leaving the villages and going to the cities. And the cities are getting flooded because they come to the cities and they can't find what they thought they'll find. And most of them end up losing their way. And yeah, so that those are the most, some of the challenges that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. The HIV and AIDS has its own negatives and impacting people negatively. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, our church, most of the pastors, they are not on a salary. And so it's mostly on a volunteer basis. Mm. And that older generation that could do that is slowly beginning to phase out.
Yeah.
And we are having this younger, new generation that to them, they are beginning their families and everything else. And so...
Yeah, they need income. And so they're trying to figure out how to do that.
Yes, how to get an income and how we can get these young people to stay and take up the leadership mantle from this generation that's phasing out. So that's one of the challenges. Last year in November, we sat down and we just laid all the cards on the table. And right now we're trying to brainstorm and find ways on how we can change that narrative.
Wow. So that meeting in November was to talk about how to support, how pastors could find different ways to kind of support themselves?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you feel like you came away with some options that would be beneficial?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Good.
Yes, we did. And we are working on those.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a question that people all around the world are asking. I hear that everywhere I go that there's a challenge with not as many young leaders. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out how to support those young leaders is really a major challenge for the church globally.
Yeah. They are not excited about going to theological schools and becoming pastors.
Yeah.
I have 5 kids and none of them want to walk in my footsteps. And so it begins with me and it's affecting every pastor. These pastors' kids, they want nothing to do with being a pastor or anything like that. They want to go out.
Yeah.
But then we're trying to get them to actually begin to support the church, like through their tithes, now that they're getting these salaries and everything else, and see how we can make sure that in those churches, we know it won't be every church, but those churches, especially the churches in the urban areas, where they have to minister to different people, different social standing and everything else, how we can get the church to support those pastors.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you mentioned climate change and droughts and flooding. Have you seen that increase in recent years? And talk a little bit about how that, you mentioned that so many of the people in the churches depend on farming. And so obviously these droughts and floods wipe out their crops. Has that become more a common occurrence?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
It has.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be incredibly difficult. And then for those people as a part of these churches, how would they then support a pastor? I mean, those kind of questions and become really, it affects all areas of that community.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we love to do as kind of a final question, so we're coming to the end. The name of the podcast is A World of Good. And so we love to just hear, what good is God doing in your world today? Can you tell us one story of the good God's doing?
God is doing a lot of good. You can look at the picture and see all the negative things that are happening and everything else. But the good thing that the Lord is doing is it's a time of kind of a spiritual awakening where people are beginning to see the things that are really, really important in life and building relationships. God is doing an amazing thing because even the young people themselves, they are beginning to understand that they are not just the church of tomorrow, but they are the church of today.
Mm.
So yeah, that's exciting.
That is.
Yeah.
Well, Reverend Milas, we will be praying for Judith and Frida. We'll be praying for your 365, 60 plus churches across the country as they support the communities they're a part of. We'll be praying for the school and the over 400 kids that are a part of that that get to find education. We'll be praying for Children of Promise and the work that you do with them. We're really grateful. There are so many pieces of the work that you do, and we're really grateful for that and grateful for the way God has shaped you and continues to shape you in the ministry that you're doing on the ground in Zambia. Thanks so much for sharing with us.
The pleasure is mine.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.